Welcome to Rockin' the Music World. I'm Robert Lloyd.
Get on the left, get on the right. Turn on the radio and join in the fight. Sort out the lies, seek out the truth. On the radio, they're giving the proof. You're gonna love it, hate it, it can confuse. First time you try it, it can give you the blues. But take my word, you can call and abuse. Just keep on talking news.
Yeah. Well, hello everybody. Welcome to Rockin' the Music World. This is Robert Lloyd. I'm so happy that you decided to join me for an hour of music. Only music, nothing but the music, and that's not true because you know how I sometimes ramble. I get on something that something comes to mind. I start onto that, so you never know where the show will go. But I love music, and I hope you love music, and I hope that's why you're listening in today. That you just enjoy the they call it the in a sense, something that separates us from the rest of the animal kingdom of the world. Not that that's the only thing, but the evolutionary process, whether you're a Christian or not. You know, I'm not necessarily an evolutionist, but I do know we change it to an extent. And the highest pinnacle that we reach as human beings, I read an article one time where they argue it's music. And I thought that was rather interesting. But then if you look at the various races that we have in this world and you look at their music, you might probably agree. The one thing that's kind of strange when you think about music and the races and what they produce, I've always believed very highly in Japanese. The Japanese people, in fact, I'm going to be talking about a Japanese in this program today. They're very interesting people, and on an average IQ nationwide, they're as high as it gets in the world. I think their national average is somewhere around maybe 108 to 112 to 114 on the high side, and that's just average. Now, that depending on which study you look at. But no matter if it's on the low or high side, you know, they're pretty much at the top. Very interesting group of people. But their music is not very well evolved. You know, a lot of their music is without a chord structure. It has notes within a chord, but then it doesn't change. And I don't understand, if we have a key to play in, why not use every chord and ninth and minors and sevenths and anything augmented, you know, anything you can use, go for it. I mean, you know, we want to make the most beautiful music there is, but the Japanese don't necessarily do that in their music. It's really amazing to me when they're so advanced in so many things. But then I guess it comes back to you look at things about the upper European ancestry, and I include the upper half of Italy in this, by the way, when I talk upper European. The northern Italians are very very Germanic in their culture, as I understand. I have never been there, but I've read about this, and I thought it's very interesting the way they are. And a lot of the Italians on the north side of the boot don't want to be part of the south side, that they consider, you know, thugs, people that where the mafia come from, and the darker skins that they've mixed more with the Arabs that have come up through the centuries in that area. So it's an issue even in Italy, and you have to your heart has to go out to Italy. That's been right in the center of the Mediterranean and has been in, you know, vast wars and stuff for that reason. Today, this is going to be an interesting show. I like this one, and I hope you will agree. I'm going to talk about today one of my favorite writers in all of history. This might surprise some of the people out there. I'm not saying I admire him in every way as a man and or as a person. I'm not saying that. I'm saying as a songwriter, composer, lyricist. We're going to be talking today about John Lennon. Yes, the Beatle, John Lennon, the leader of the Beatles. At least he was considered the unofficial leader of the Beatles, and later in the group's history, Lennon kind of took a back seat to everything and let Paul McCartney kind of run things, and then that caused trouble too, because you know John was the oldest, but he was observant, very interesting guy. But I'm going to do a little, before I get into him again, I'm going to do a little different here today. Normally I play you bits and pieces of songs and just start talking over them and stuff, and just kind of set the mood with songs and partial, you know, 20, 30 seconds or something. That's about it. Today I'm going to play about 5 songs. And they're going to be some of the best that Lennon ever did. I'm going to play you a song called Real Love. I'm going to play it here in a second. And it's a song that they got off of his recorder after he had died that he had been working on. And then they took this, and then McCartney and Harrison and Ringo, and I think George Martin was behind this, of course. And they finished the song with overdubs. Took his song off a cheap recorder just to use just for playing as his piano, guitar, or whatever. Because songwriters do that to remember the song so they don't forget it. And then they finished a mass production on it, and it's really neat. And so I hope you love it. It's called Real Love. Here it is.
All I really
Anyway, John Lennon was very interesting. If there ever was an interesting person in music, I'm going to give you a quote. John Lennon, quote, "Show business is an extension of the Jewish religion. You can read into it what you like," end quote. It's about 1964 when he said that. Interesting? Yes. Very interesting. You can find it on YouTube. Saying it while the Beatles were being, just preyed upon by the media, and they were being interviewed in front of the cameras and everything. And there's John Lennon saying show business is an Jewish religion extension. I mean, it's just amazing. He was born in 1940, October 9th. His given name was John Winston Lennon, based on Winston Churchill. Later in life, he changed his name to John Ono Lennon because he was the ultimate, stay-at-home daddy, the mom, he got to be an idiot. And he was from England, born in Liverpool. He's a singer, songwriter. He played piano and guitar, and he also played the harmonica. He is one of the instrumental people in rock music, but also music in general. I think the Beatles' music, a lot of their melodies are so beautiful that the songwriting team of Lennon and McCartney, including Paul McCartney individually and John Lennon individually, are going to go down in history with popular music. Born in Liverpool, and Lennon, as his teenage years, he got into the skiffle music, and his first band was the Quarrymen, and they evolved eventually into the Beatles as of 1960. In fact, they went like the Silver Beatles, they called themselves. He's a very engaging individual. He had a mean spirit at times, as loving of a spirit that he could have at times. He could turn on a dime, and he isn't who you think he is for a man that's, women's rights and all these things, anti-war and stuff. Yet, when they were first moving up in popularity in England, for instance, and around the world, a lot of handicapped people always love to come see. Like, they want to see what's going on in this world, too. So people in wheelchairs and stuff would be given a little preferential treatment over the side of the stage at times and could go meet the Beatles backstage. And I think that's a fantastic thing to do. I think a lot of entertainers and artists open their doors for people with handicaps, and there's kind of a special relationship there at times. Lennon would, if not openly in front of them, after they would leave, he'd make fun of them. He'd walk funny, as though he was crippled and stuff, and he had this mean side to him, and I don't know why it was this way, but it's just the way. Anyway, overall in his career, he was responsible for, get this, 25 number one hits in the U.S. Hot 100 chart. Can you imagine that? Not just top 40, top 100, or top number one songs. He had 25 of them. Think about a song as the number one for 6 weeks, let's say, 4 to 6 weeks. My gosh, he went on for years with these things. His span of hit songs, went quite a long ways too. When they were first discovered in 63, 64 time frame, he was producing right up to 1980 when he was killed. He would go into seclusion at times, but a very prolific writer. He is considered the fifth greatest singer of all time by the Rolling Stones. I mean, you don't look at John Lennon as a singer. I mean, there's billions of people, not billions, but I mean, he's not a singer. He's a singer, and one of my favorite. I love the way he sang the songs, because he sang the songs. It wasn't about him; it was about the song. And a great singer sings the song. It isn't about him or her as a singer. It's not about the guitar player. It's not about, it's about the song, about the beauty of the song. And the voice is merely one more instrument to make that the most beautiful recording you possibly can be. And could you imagine that the Beatles would have been like an Elvis Presley or a NSYNC, you know, boy band where they're dancing around? You know, my little girl one time says, "Daddy, why didn't the Beatles ever dance like NSYNC and stuff?" I said, "Kimmy, think about it." And she thought about it, and she started laughing. We both started laughing over how ridiculous it would have been, and how really it would have hurt them in history to be so dumb. But anyway, he was born in the wartime during the Second World War, early in the Second World War. As his mother named Julia, he actually wrote a song for her. "Julia, half of what I think is meaningless." Remember that song? I think that was off the White Album. Very nice song, but you know, he loved his mother, but his mother basically abandoned him, and actually she was so irresponsible. Her older sister Mimi, who became what John always called Mimi, Aunt Mimi, raised him, and she had to get a court order to take John away from Julia because she would abandon John and wasn't a real good mom, and you know, it was just one of those things. And his dad was always gone because his dad was a merchant seaman, so they had divorced, and he already saw any of them, and once in a while he'd see his mother, but that was about it. Aunt Mimi was all in his life, and she loved little John. And it was, say, Julia would come home and visit John on occasion. When John was like, in 1944, she came home to see her sister Mimi. She was pregnant with another man. She wasn't married. She's just pregnant again. But also his father and mother, and Lennon was to choose, and he chose his father. But then when his mother started walking away from that, he began to cry. Then he followed her. I had that happen when I was 4 years old. My mom and dad were going through a divorce. I remember just like it was yesterday. I was scared. They were yelling at each other, and we're sitting in the living room. And I was sitting with my two sisters next to my mom. And my dad was across from us in like another seat. And they were undoubtedly talking about they're getting a divorce and how the kids were going to be split up. There's three of us kids. Later, there's five of us. Right now, there's three. And my dad looked at me and says, "Come here, Bobby." And I couldn't get up. I was so scared. I remember being so scared. I was frozen. And I didn't get up and go to him. So I figured he must have thought, well, that was the decision you made. No, it wasn't a decision I made. I was too scared to get up. If I was sitting with him and my mother would have said, "Come here, Bobby," I would have been too scared to get up. I would have sat with my dad. But that's how I became, which side of the family I stayed on. All of us kids stayed with my mother instead. And I never saw my dad ever again. And he died early in his life. He died in the mid-80s. He was a war hero. Really wish I would have been able to see him. Anyway, Lennon, getting back to Lennon here, I'm sorry, folks. He was always a troublemaker growing up. And when he started hanging around Paul McCartney when they were real young and as young teenagers, Paul's father kept telling Paul, you know, keep away from him. He's bad news, you know. And a lot of people that knew John Lennon, you know, going to school with him and stuff, there's one guy that said if he wouldn't have made it as a Beatle in the music world, he would have been maybe a criminal. That's what this guy felt. His attitude towards John Lennon was. Now, I'm not sure if that would have been the case, but this guy didn't like him, obviously, and he said that this is just a bad guy. He was a fighter, but he was an odd mix. He was also an artist, did sketches and paintings and wrote. In his own right, he wrote that and even put it into some documentary slash short movie type thing later on. He was around the women when he was growing up, but you know, he was a feminist. He was one of the early feminists of the, you know, he was taken over by all this 60s bull. And, you know, he became a feminist when he married later on his wife, Yoko Ono. But anyway, to move on, he attended the high school in Liverpool and was at that time a happy-go-lucky, good-humored, easy-going, lively lad. Now, see, somebody had that feeling about him, and yet other people said he was one evil guy. He would draw comical cartoons and... he was not a good student, though. Quote one of his teachers, "Certainly on the road to failure, hopeless, rather a clown in class, wasting other pupils' time." Wow. Well, I don't know who else that sounded like, but it wasn't me. Anyway, his mother bought him his first guitar in 1956. And it was an inexpensive Gallatone Champion acoustic. And she lent John £5.10 on the condition that the guitar be delivered to her own house and not Mimi's when she bought it from the shop. And Aunt Mimi, as much as she loved John as her own, it was basically John's real mother in a sense, she felt music was a waste of time. And she told him, "You'll never make a living doing that," which of course she was wrong. And eventually Lennon bought her everything. When he made it big, Aunt Mimi was the focus of him, and she didn't have to do much. She quoted as saying, the guitar is all very well, John, but you'll never make a living out of it." But you know, for the most part, she was right. That wasn't bad advice. In 1958, Lennon was 17 years old. His mother was walking home after visiting their house and was struck by a car driven by a drunk. And, of course, then later on in his life, John wrote the song Julia for his mother. He failed his entrance examinations, but was finally accepted into the Liverpool College of Art. And only his aunt and headmaster intervened because of his poor examination grades. They had to just kind of let him in. Once at the college, he started wearing clothes that were leather, you know, Elvis Presley type look. And they called it in England the teddy boy look, you know, rough guy. But, you know, that's the way kids are. And he had a reputation for disrupting the classes and ridiculing teachers. I'm glad I wasn't that way. As a result, he was excluded from the painting class, then the graphics art class, and was threatened with expulsion for his behavior. Thank God I was never threatened or kicked out of anything, which includes sitting on a nude model's lap during a life drawing class. He failed his annual exam, and despite help from fellow students and his future wife, Cynthia Powell, he was thrown out of the college before his final year. Anyway, so then he decided to get in this band, you know, get this going. And they were playing skiffle music. Here's a little skiffle music, or similar to skiffle. Skiffle music is basically, you know, a poor man's rock and roll. What it was... You know, if you didn't have enough money to have a nice drum kit, you made a drum kit out of pots and pans and boxes and stuff, and you would string something however you could just to make sound. So a lot of it was homemade instruments and stuff. But that's what was the craze in England at the time. Remember, it was a poor country, bankrupted because they decided to attack Christian Germany and start the Second World War. So it came back, and God maybe has punished them for that, and they were all poor. So around he was 15 years old with his group in the Quarrymen around 1957. They referred to it as a spirited set of songs made up of half skiffle and half rock and roll. Well, the better the instruments, the more rock and roll it got. And then Lennon first met Paul McCartney at the Quarrymen's second performance held at St. Peter's Church Garden. And some social affair, they had the Quarrymen play, whether they got paid or not, probably didn't. And then McCartney was talking to them, you know, and got to know John. And then and John says, how would you like to join the band? And McCartney, of course, talked it over and got back the next day and said he would. It's funny now, Aunt Mimi, when she met Paul McCartney, McCartney claims that, quote, Amy said she was very aware that John's friends were lower class. And that's kind of interesting because McCartney's parent, his dad was a musician, school teacher. His mother died early in his life, so he didn't have a mom. But actually, they were educated people and not too low class. But, you know, sometimes you're protective of your own family and everybody else is lesser. My mother was that way. I mean, she always had a, you know, my wife was never good enough for her, you know. Not the woman I'm married to right now, but my first wife, my mother accepted her, of course. And, you know, I had a wonderful first wife. And, you know, but my mother always never thought she was good enough. And I guess Aunt Mimi was kind of the same way here. But at the same time, McCartney's family looked at Lennon and disapproved there, and they're going to get in trouble. That's what his mom said, and Lennon was that type. So anyway, to move on here, by about 18 years old, hanging around McCartney and their band, he wrote his first song at 18 years old, which that kind of surprised me because as soon as I got my first instrument in my hands, my first guitar, I tuned it and learned my first three or four chords. I wrote my song, my first song right away, and that was like maybe eighth grade, something like that, eighth or ninth grade, just as soon as I could get $25 and buy my friend's guitar. And he didn't write until he was 18. That's amazing to me. I don't know why. I would have thought otherwise. Anyway, Lennon met Cynthia Powell in 1957 as she was a fellow student at the Liverpool College of Art. And she was kind of scared of Lennon's attitude and appearance. He was the teddy boy. You know, he's a bad boy. And she was attracted to him for that. She heard that he was obsessed with French actress Brigitte Bardot. Remember her? So Cynthia Powell dyed her hair blonde. And she was an attractive girl, kind of, I guess, kind of looked like Brigitte Bardot. And Lennon saw that, and he asked her out. But then she said that she was engaged. And then he screamed out, I didn't ask you to effing marry me, did I? Typical John Lennon. Now, I'm glad I read that one. I don't care for the cussing or anything. But I'm glad that was, you know, in my research there, because that really sums up kind of the way he was. He was just a mean spirit. And they said Lennon was very jealous by nature and eventually grew possessive. And they said he often terrified Powell with his anger and physical violence. Lennon later said that until he met Yoko Ono, he had never questioned his chauvinistic attitude to women. Well, I'm sorry, but a man should be chauvinistic. I'm a Christian man, and God put me on earth to lead my family. I'm the lead pastor of my house. My wife doesn't vote. I won't have my wife voting. If we want to vote, I'll cast the vote for our family. I'll talk to my wife before I cast my vote, and she's my partner for life, and I confide everything with her, I always want her opinion on things, but the final decision is going to be with me, and I'm not going to have a woman in my house going out and voting for the best-looking guy on the ballot. I mean, and every good idea, you know, women are all, everything's a good idea. I've read statistics, and it's very, very overwhelming to see that in every country where women finally got the vote, they immediately became huge government bureaucracies, and every government has gone through this as soon as women get the vote. We had it here in America. It's too bad. It's just how I feel about it. But anyway, I don't think you should hit a woman. Although I do think a man has a right to pop his wife should she need it. I hope I would have never need it. But a man was made bigger and stronger and faster for a reason. That is to keep peace in the family. Now, John Lennon just would get mad and hit somebody. That's a wife beater. Read about Sean Connery, folks, if you want to understand that issue there. Sean Connery's a very interesting, good man. And he doesn't beat his wife. He's had a wife now, 35, 40 years, never touched her. He believes in popping a woman if she gets out of hand. A wife, not somebody else's wife, but a wife. It's I might have a show just on that. Anyway, he until he met Yoko Ono, then he became some feminist. What an idiot! But he rejected Jesus and religion too. Imagine there is no heaven above us, only sky. Well, he even made comments like Jesus was all right, but his disciples were a bore. Come on. You know, it's amazing. Anyway, when the Beatles had that song on, was it Sgt. Pepper's, Getting Better. Getting better all the time, can't get no worse. I used to be cruel to my woman and I used to be cruel to my woman. I beat her and kept her apart from the things that she loved. He says that's his story. I always thought that was a McCartney song, though. He says he couldn't express himself, and so he hit people. He fought men and he hit women. And he says, that is why I'm always on about peace. Well, I'm for peace, but just because there's a lack of violence in the world doesn't mean there's peace. That's a liberal's outlook on peace. We are anything but a peaceful society right now. In 62, Cynthia got pregnant, and Lennon told her, there's only one thing for it, Sin. We'll have to get married. I mean, typical John Lennon. She attributes the start of their marriage breakdown in the mid-60s when the Beatles got big to LSD. And she said he got more interested in LSD than her. Oh, that was too bad. She came home one day to their house, and Yoko Ono was there, and her and John were smoking dope and everything, and John just ignored his wife Cynthia there, and carried on his affair with Yoko Ono at the time. See the meanness that this guy had. There's so many things about John Lennon that are so neat, but for him to have done this, you don't do that to anybody. As your wife or whoever it is, you don't do things like that to people. Eventually, she got divorced, and she got custody of Julian, and then eventually he moved to New York, and it was just all a mess. The thing with Yoko Ono eventually broke up the Beatles, because when he brought her into the recording studio, that basically was it. You don't get within the four guys of the band. Even George Martin stayed out of it and kept back in the recording booth or where the mixing table was, and kept away from the recording area where the Beatles were, because that was like a privileged area, and Martin was smart enough to recognize that they communicated so well together, you never wanted to mess with that. And, you know, once they would loosen up a little bit and get going, then Martin would converse with them and give ideas and get them from them, and he'd give them to them. And it was a give-and-take thing. But one day, Yoko Ono came into the recording studio with John, sat right next to him while they were recording, and the other Beatles were aghast. And that was basically the end of the Beatles once that happened. George Harrison joined the band because he was a friend of McCartney's, but he was considered so young. Lennon wasn't sure he wanted him in the band. He was, you know, he was 3 years younger than they were. Of course, you know, McCartney was pretty young. He was only a year older than Harrison. But then he had Harrison play a few things for John, and John says, okay, you're in for right now anyway. And, of course, then he fit right in. The band released their first single in 1962 with George Martin signing them to the record label there. Love Me Do was the first one that they chose that just because of the harmonica leading off the song, very prominent. It wasn't a very good song, and it got up to, what, number 18 or something like that. I mean, number 17 it said on the British charts. But Lennon knew that song, Please Please Me, that they were recording, was going to be a good one. And then Martin suggested to them, hey, kind of put a little up-tempo on that. It was going to be a ballad. And so they tried it up-tempo, and then it really got good with harmonies and everything, really upbeat. Great song, and Lennon knew it was number one. Martin said, hey, guys, it's number one. Lennon went home that night and was telling everybody, hold on, we're going to have a number one hit on the radio, and that's what happened. So anyway, the way Lennon and McCartney would write, everything was Lennon and McCartney that we agreed upon. But usually, you know, one of them or the other one would pretty much write the song. They'd bring it in, maybe the other one would add some things, but they didn't write together as much as you would actually think. But here's a real neat song. I believe most of this would be Lennon, and it's from the movie A Hard Day's Night, if you remember this, and it's a song called If I Fell.
If I fell in love with you, would you promise to be true and help me understand? 'Cause I've been in love before, and I found that love was more than just holding hands. If I give my heart to you, I must be sure from the very start that you would love me more than her. If I trust in you,
that it's one of my favorite songs on harmony. I grew up singing that when I was a kid, and I'd sing every harmony song on that, and it was just amazing. They made two movies, or actually more, but two main movies, A Hard Day's Night and Help. And they had, you know, Sergeant Pepper's was more of a cartoon thing, and then they had the one where the Magical Mystery Tour, but that was kind of a documentary local yokel thing that really never went anywhere. To move on here, and then he made his Christianity remarks. They were more popular than Jesus, you know, really just insulted everybody. But when he got finally into the mid-60s, 1967, They released Strawberry Fields Forever, which is a classic Lennon song. I consider that the first rock video of all time. And in Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, there were some real neat songs. And then the song A Day in the Life. And once you listen to this one, folks, you're going to love it.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed that. It's one of my favorite songs of all time. You know, when you look at Strawberry Fields Forever, A Day in the Life, I Am the Walrus. You know, I've played that on my other show, so I won't go into that today. A very, very involved, complex type of things that are very, very ingenious, very interesting things. And McCartney's songs were more on the pop side, and it bothered Lennon at times that he thinks, you know, when you get into an elevator, you're never going to hear his songs because McCartney's melodies are always going to be on there being lighter stuff. And George Martin used to counsel him on this. Don't worry about it, John. People are going to like your songs for different reasons, and it's true. I remember being in junior high, and our teacher one time asked everybody, or was it grade school, to bring a favorite song record to school. And so we were bringing songs, and then somebody brought a Beatles record on there, and the first thing people wanted to hear was I Am the Walrus. Kids, probably 12, 13 years old, and everybody's going, I Am the Walrus, I Am the Walrus. And so they played that. You know, he is a very, very interesting thing. We only have so much time because of Yoko Ono and his love for her. He really ostracized himself from the Beatles, and the Beatles broke up in the 69-70 era. And then he went into some of the most beautiful songs. Here's one that is one of my personal favorites of all time, called Jealous Sky.
You was trying to hide.
And that is not a beautiful song. I don't know what is. It's just amazing. He's this hard-nosed rocker, and yet he put out these beautiful songs like L-O-V-E, which I'm gonna play here in a second. Something you might really enjoy, a compilation of a lot of his songs. For all the ugliness that he was about, the beauty of some of his music, the song L-O-V-E, the song Imagine, which I don't appreciate the Antichrist message in it, but it is a beautiful, beautiful song. If I Fell, these songs are... why would a guy with his demeanor, with his rough exterior, he must have had the most beautiful interior, that to put out beautiful music like that, just it almost doesn't make sense to me. But anyway, I did this song about 10 years ago. I produced this, released it. Now, nobody's ever heard this outside of my daughter, maybe, and maybe a few of my friends. And no, I don't even think it, it's not a song I wrote, so I don't go there. I usually only do things I write. I don't have time to be doing other people's songs. Unfortunately, they don't have time to do my songs for the most part. So I just stick with my music. But I decided I had some ideas on this. And this is going to be in mono, so you're not going to hear the music come out of all different areas of the speaker and your sound clock as you're looking. It coming out of 4 o'clock and 11 o'clock and 3 o'clock. You're not gonna sense that, because I had to put it in mono for the show here. But it was done in stereo, and this song just surrounds you. These songs start coming out at you, and you're going to recognize. And then the song L-O-V-E itself was produced not by George Martin, because George Martin wouldn't have taken this, what I consider one of the greatest songs of the 20th century, and ruined it. George Martin should have produced this, and it would have been beautiful. Instead, Phil Spector was ruining it. I had to make the most out of it that I could. I won't go into why. I'm out of time here. But I hope you enjoy this. And this is the most beautiful song. It might bring a tear to your eye. And it ends up, of course, with the death of John Lennon and all the stuff that went on.
Repeating, former Beatle John Lennon is dead. He was shot and killed Monday night in front of his apartment building.
Happy Christmas, Kilgore.
Happy Christmas, Julie.
The warm gun, you may say, I'm a dreamer.
asking to be loved. Love is you.
I hope you enjoyed this show today, folks. John Lennon was one of my favorite writers, as much as I disagreed with him as a person. But I hope you enjoyed the show. I'll see you next week. I got a song submission this week from a listener of the show, and we're going to get into some of our original music, the listeners here, and we'll see what you like. Maybe next week or one of the coming weeks. I love you so much. This is Rockin' the Music World with Robert Lloyd. Bye for now.
Every morning, look in the morning with you.